This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
When you turn me wrong,
you drop the bomb on me, baby. You drop the bomb on me.
But you turn me up.
All right, welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Has Martin been to 1860s yet, the Soulard bar that we're going to be at? Have you been there yet?
You were there, right?
I've been there. I don't think I was there.
I don't know if you were that day.
I was
no.
not there
the
for
famous
the famous
pictures. Yes.
I think you and I think the Chuck. Wives, we went to dinner the next day or something, and Monique said, have you seen this? Kim, have you seen this picture of Frank and Charlie? And they're both flexing. And
well, it's more Charlie. He was sucking in the belly like there's no tomorrow.
I don't think I've been there. I've been to 1860s. I have not been there with you two horn dogs on the famous.
Wait till you see the lovely Tammy Joy. We're excited to be there tomorrow.
Be bringing heat tomorrow. Frank's riding high. Did you see it? Rick Pitino won another title.
That's right. The Greek National Championship.
He went to Greece and won. So I read about it. They won their semifinal game by forfeit because the other team refused to come back out after the officiating was so poor.
Minor detail.
More cheating associated with the Pitino title. It was the David Blatt coach team.
Oh, wow.
What are all these guys doing over there? But Pitino has won another title. That's why Frank has got his chest puffed out just a little bit.
Wow. Here. The next coach of the UCLA Bruins.
All the guy does is win, right?
That's right.
How was Florida, Frank? Any great romantic evenings with Claves?
No. You know what? The night we were going to go to Limoncello, it was happened to be Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
so
they called up. Anyway, you could bump some of these happy couples out of the way. Frank and I wouldn't mind getting a little meal.
I thought the best part was this: is there's a good place called Anthony's Coal Fire Pizza, where they really great stove and oven, really great pizza, and it's Stasiak's favorite place of all time. And so he's so ticked off that he didn't go on the trip. I said, I texted him. I said, Tom, what's the name of that place again? He goes, Domino's. He was not going to give it up. But we went and drank in his honor.
I was going to say, even if you didn't eat there, you go into the lot, you just leave the car running. You run and take a nice photo inside and say, thinking of you right now.
Oh, yeah. I sent him pictures of the Mai Trio just to take them off.
It's amazing how Stasiak stays so thin with all of the eating he likes to do.
And then I call him the day about our food pick shoot this week. He goes, why don't you ask Josh?
And where's it going to be?
A place called Edibles, which is famous for their fried ribs, barbecue ribs. Now, ribs are great, and then frying everything is even better, so the combination should be good.
Edibles sounds like something that Plowski would be going to.
I certainly perked up and want to look at where the address is. But I'm certain the food is fantastic, although I've had edibles that were really, really tasty. So,
how about a couple of spring surprises, Frank? Anybody? And I understand nobody flashed at this point. That used to be the training camp word, Coach Vermeil. Anybody flash, and there'd be some like eighth round pick. Oh yeah, you look good this morning.
Spring surprise.
I'm more interested in terms of media and personalities and sound bites. Because you were in there.
Well,
we're at 3:35. That locker room opens. We're on deadline. We look around. We're like, who are we getting?
Kisner, if he's on the roster. Charlie's
the go-to
guy. Yeah, just instant offense. I'm telling you, I've always admired Brebbia and the thoughts about the beard. Martin, this guy is a professional comedian. He's unbelievable. We need this guy to be on this team no matter what. Put those flamethrowers in Memphis. Keep Brebbia here. He's a good pitcher, too. But, oh, my gosh, is he winning.
Time's going to come in the next, two or three years where you guys as media members are going to be really happy about that Goldschmidt trade. Not so much because he's still hopefully here and hitting a lot of home runs, but because it cleared the space, jettisoning Carson Kelly to Arizona, getting Andrew Kisner, the catcher in waiting, and he should be the starting catcher by then. So you'll have a talkative catcher in the locker room.
I could hear Frank with Mike Schilt every day. Boy, Kisner's really looking good. He is really bringing. And then some guy with an ERA of 8. I don't know. I thought he had good stuff. Didn't you think so, Mike?
Yeah. Speaking of Mike, he's got a little Spagnuolo in him, in the good way of Spagnuolo, everybody's...
Well, they just scared the crap out of Mike Schilt and Spagnuolo.
He's tearing down pictures of La Russa in the locker room. No, he knows every media member's name, and well, that's a great question, Brooke. Well, let me tell you something, Charlie. I mean, Alden. Yeah.
But Mark Sauer.
The difference is he's not a fake about it. He's just genuinely a nice guy that, wants to get to know people.
And isn't it obvious? I said this a couple of times last week. Whether it was media members or players even, Everybody was saying, this is not a shot at Matheny. This is not a shot at previous manager. There did seem to be a looseness or just sort of a comfort level there. Everybody seemed to be in good spirit. I know it's Florida and they're playing catch, and you, but maybe there was just no tension or something.
I mean, there's a huge difference. There's no doubt about it. In fact, Brian, check today, because Schilt told us last week when we asked, so how are you going to be a little bit different? He goes, well, I got something planned for Monday that'll be – and then he wouldn't reveal
room.
It. Yeah, well, it's not like that. I think it's going to be a little not so self-manufactured. He was going to do something different or just make things a little bit funner. Or,
you know, I actually heard John Mozeliak on KMOX yesterday with Mike Kelly, and that topic was brought up. And
oh, did Mo know?
Well, and Mo said, well, I don't really want to give away. It's sort of Schilty's thing. We're with the general manager of baseball operations. And he tried to get him to go there, and Mo basically said, I'll let Schilty roll out his routine. And at that point, it's probably overstated. Now, we're going to be disappointed. But apparently, today, first full squad workout, he was going to have a way of going about it that was going to be uniquely theirs.
Can't
whatever that means.
Can't see anything yet. They're okay. Working out now, so maybe it's an afternoon thing.
One thing I thought was kind of interesting with Dexter Fowler, I brought out his 851 OPS, and that's what all defenders of Fowler's do, the 2 years ago. And he goes, I go, you know, people forget that just a couple years ago you had an 851 OPS. That was 2 years ago, right? It wasn't 10 years ago, right? That was just really recently, right, Frank? And he went, you know, just to let everybody know, hey, I wasn't a bad player just 2 years ago, you know. So
yeah, Charlie said similarly that he kept saying, so people already forgot about it. He's very aware,
that
stat is out there, that people. And Charlie, in his exchange, said, yeah, I give you credit for that. He goes, oh, really? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
A little defensive about it, but his temperament does seem to be better, which shouldn't matter, but I think for him it does.
And, you know, it doesn't – it would be nice if he comes through and hits 16 home runs with a 380, you know, on base and a 820 OPS. But let me just say this. If he doesn't, it's okay. Because the guys behind him, I'd be stunned if Tyler O'Neill, if he got 550 at-bats, wouldn't hit 25. Now, he may strike out too much, but he'll give you all those other tools. Gosh, he's like one huge muscle. I mean, and his BP is just insane.
We were discussing this on 590 Baseball on Friday, that there is protection for underachievement or injury in the outfield. Even Jose Martinez, albeit not defensively, but could certainly offensively fill in right field.
And I asked Jose point blank, I go, a lot of people think that you should be saying, hey, I deserve a legitimate chance to win this right field spot, and you're not given that chance. He goes, no, I don't think like that. He goes, you look at this roster, you look at the guys in there, so I'm just happy to be on this team. Just classic Jose.
And he is good for business. Keep him in that locker room. And Mike Schilt's a little better for business than maybe we originally thought. There's a little more zip or personality there. I think people that see him in the dugout with the hat pulled down, they're like, oh, this guy, he's a baseball nerd. And he may admittedly be a huge baseball nerd. That's all he cares about, lives and breathes baseball.
That and Carolina Panther football.
But has a little bit of sense of humor, personality that we didn't see maybe day one.
He's a big Carolina Panther fan?
Yeah, big Cam Newton guy. Loves him.
Huh, okay. Well, I like him. Good.
All right, let's do five for Frank. It's brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, the NBA All-Star Game, at the last minute yesterday, I was online, and it said tickets available. One ticket as low as $382. Mm-hmm. Could I talk you into paying that for an NBA All-Star Game?
I've never been.
You're the only one listening who's even thinking about it.
I've never been.
You've never been to an NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, I don't think I have, no.
It's got to be no for any All-Star game for that price.
382.
Yeah, it seems a little steep.
That's a nice gift for Monique.
Yeah, or a really great steak dinner and watching the game at Roost Chris.
Right.
Or Kemal Shabazz.
What time tonight? Which, they're having family and friends over tonight.
I heard this, and I had the same reaction, Brian. Oh, this is cool. Frank's announcing it. It said friends and family will be invited over tonight to Kemal's. Do you know from Fox 2, it's probably 2.5 minutes.
Wow, you have now the advantage. Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
What time should I tell the wife to be ready by?
It's so tight because we're trying to have limited people. We're testing out the kitchen, making sure. And my brother even called me and goes, do you and Monique really have to go? I said, yes, we have to go.
Wow, so not even family's invited, yeah. It seems
just
like.
Friends.
See, I'm just going to walk in most nights, act like I belong, and say, hi, pick it up for Frank. I got Frank's box to go. Box for
box
Frank.
For Frank.
What the percentage of them bringing out a box that they already have set aside for yeah. Frank?
And then Frank shows up 10 minutes later. It's already gone. All right, do you agree with Bill DeWitt? He said over the weekend, among the possible changes to the game, he likes the three-pitcher rule, which is funny since he did employ Tony La Russa for a while. He said he thought that would really
help.
Three
batters?
You must face three batters. I'm sorry, yeah, three batters.
Yeah, I hate that rule.
I don't like it at all. I was surprised he said that.
Yeah, I guess it would quicken things up because less changes for sure would quicken things up.
Can you imagine that? A guy comes in, gives up a grand slam out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
Changes the entire game, and they're like, well, got to pitch to another guy. Gives up another bomb. Like, yeah. Well, got to pitch to another guy.
Yeah, well, let's say it's a lefty.
You like, want Brett Cecil to be required to face yeah. three batters?
That should have been the follow-up. Are you
intentionally walk yeah, off three?
He just gave up a three-run bomb to Rizzo, and then Chris Bryant. Oh, no, you got to pitch to Bryant.
Got to stay in that game. I was surprised. He said they're in favor of things that will speed it up. What really will speed up? All these little rules, they feel like tweaks. It's probably more on the players just collectively. Picking up the pace.
Yes.
Getting in the box.
I do think a rule of keeping batters in the batter's box for the entire at-bat is a good one.
I watched that pitch count a lot last year, the clock. Pitchers were always blowing past it. Nobody was enforcing it. It's all sort of silly.
By the way, quick thought on Cecil. I think he cried on both of our stations, on 2 and on
really?
5, talking about the death of his father-in-law right before spring training. Apparently, the father-in-law, he was like a dad to him. And when he passed away, I mean, he was devastated. And he really opened up with, you know, the local camera crews.
I do feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I still want him to get people out, but I do feel bad. When you hear that story, that's right. Any day when you and I walk in there, if a guy says, I don't have time today or catch me tomorrow, I never mind that. As long as they're not rude about it. You never know. They may have just gotten terrible news at home, something with their family. Maybe the manager or the coaches just kind of let them have. You never know what just happened in their world. And I never mind if they say, I'd rather not today or not, as long as they're not rude about it. Well, I'm rooting for them. I mean, you had that, and then you had the Chris Carpenter. When's the last time he opened up and kind of talked about himself or his personal life?
Yeah.
Very rarely.
The irony of him being there to mentor and bring along Adam Wainwright, and then Wainwright in the end saves Carpenter's life in a sense, along with Holiday and some others. But
all right, number 3, 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University. On the to-do list for the Blues, next up, start winning at home. Their home record is 14-13-2.
Wow.
As much as they've been winning, doesn't that just jump out at you? That's got to end. 14-13-2.
For a team that's as, I guess there's something to be said for bonding on the road a little bit, but you'd think that you know, that Enterprise Center is such a great hockey environment. That is amazing. Wow.
I would think maybe now this winning culture, that's going to spill into some of those home games. All right, number 4, you are the Padres. Did you guys inherit some money or are you guys selling drugs or?
That's just out of the clear blue.
All of a sudden now they're in on Harper and maybe Machado.
After signing Hosmer last offseason.
Right. Do you think we need to, like, this is when the government goes, hold on, that's a lot of activity over there. It's a lot of money. Where are they getting this money? You've never thought of the Padres as being, when's the last time they made a big splash? I mean, the Hosmer thing was a big signing last year.
Well, they had that one weird offseason where they, was it they traded for Kimbrel and Matt Kemp, or did they sign Kimbrel? They acquired Kimbrel and Matt Kemp and I think Will Myers from Tampa in a series of moves, none of which made a whole lot of sense, and it didn't yield any success. But in terms of like a major free agent signing?
You know, like holding up the jersey, they won the offseason.
Is it Piazza? They signed Mike Piazza years ago.
At what point in his career?
That was late.
You know, if I'm these two and I'm going to the Padres, I would make sure we go together. Because Bryce Harper is not going to be enough. But if you got them both, who knows?
The Padres, to their credit, do have a stacked farm system. So I'm sure their selling point is, you know, maybe not this year, but next year and beyond, it's our division.
You could sell me on San Diego if you're Bryce.
Right.
Hey, you're not going to be great next year. What are you, 26? All right, you're going to make like $30 million a year. You're going to live in San Diego. We'll be good in a few years. All right. Sounds good.
So with the Padres and Machado, it was 8 years and at least 250, and you, and they think the Harper deal is at least 300. So
it would be great with all of,
million.
All of this collusion, all of this, hey, we're hurting for money, and then the Padres jump up and spend a half a billion.
Wouldn't that bother you, though, like the Cardinals weren't involved in an offseason where the
Padres
are the big winner?
Because the narrative is, oh, well, that would hamstring a whole organization. They have $350 million players, although you don't know if that, you know, wins.
It would be great because it would just tip this whole argument upside down.
Agreed.
That nobody has money, we can't afford these contracts. And unless you're the Red Sox or Dodgers, you can't afford this kind of stuff. And then the Padres sign both, which I don't think will happen. But I think it'd be great for a storyline. All right, number five. Frank, the biggest turnaround you've seen, most stunning turnaround.
So this I think the Rams in 99 would
That's got to be the all-time, right? From just horrible 4-12 to Super Bowl champions.
I mean, even if the Blues were to win the Stanley Cup this year, I think the Rams would still be even more dramatic.
That's Hollywood-esque. That's an all-time stunner. Somebody pointed out the 2011 Cardinals, that we'd kind of left them for dead real late.
That's not bad.
Late in the
2006
year.
2006 wasn't exactly murder's row early either. Remember that?
Yeah. Right. You didn't have any expectation, even until the playoffs began, that they'd make any kind of run. I said John Tudor from an individual standpoint. He was 1-7, and then he went 20-1 the rest of the way.
85.
Is there any kind of Mizzou? I mean, the turnaround when Konzo got there, but that was kind of over the course of a whole year.
And that was kind of expected with the
Porter
with the
thing.
Porter momentum.
But in terms of a season where you said, oh, this team stinks, and then all of a sudden they're really good.
Because the 99 Rams were great right from the beginning.
I would like the Blues to win it all, and I said, just grab the mic and say, nobody believed in us. And you and I would say, that's correct.
God, they're right.
That's correct. So I tweeted that out, and I was just asking people for their list. Stunning turns around St. Louis sports history. A lot of great answers, Frank. And then there was one that said, pump the brakes, Chubby. Like, why am I pumping the brakes, Chubby? I'm like, why am I? All I'm asking is stunning turnaround.
Chubby.
It's the word chubby that gets me.
That's a great old school. That's kind of a Don Imus insult. Chubby. Like nobody calls you Tubby or Chubby anymore. Pump the brakes.
God.
Oh, can we make that a segment?
Pump the brakes, chubby. Yeah.
Every day.
So what are we too, like
anything we're excited about.
Something we're too excited about. Pump the brakes, Chubby.
Brought to you by Overwatch.
Yes. Perfect.
Or by CarX or one of the brake companies.
Yes.
We're pumping the brakes here, Chubby. I can't think of any other great examples. You know, was there a Mizzou basketball or football? I mean, Mizzou football turned it around a year ago when they were 1-6.
I mean, the 14-0 Big 8 season, you know, led by Melvin Booker, that was pretty surprising. Nobody thought that was coming, but they weren't going to be horrible. So, all right, let's take a short time out. When we come back, we'll be joined by Kelly Chase.